Morning. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he shall let them go, and under compulsion he shall drive them out of his land." God spoke further to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. And I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they sojourn. And furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I remember my covenant. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for possession. I am the Lord." So Moses spoke thus to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and cruel bondage. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the sons of Israel go out of his land." But Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, "Behold, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? For I am unskilled in speech." Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron and gave them a charge to the sons of Israel and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt. There are the heads of their fathers' households, the sons of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These are the families of Reuben. And the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. These are the families of Simeon. And these are the names of the sons of Levi according to the generations, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And the length of Levi's life was 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni and Shimei according to their families, the sons of Kohath, Amram and Izhar and Hebron and Uziel. And the length of Kohath's life was 133 years. The sons of Merari, Mahli, and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to their generations. And Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, and she bore him Aaron and Moses, and the length of Amram's life was 137 years. And the sons of Izhar, Korah, and Nepheg, and Zikri. The sons of Uziel, Mishael, and El-Zaphon, and Sithri. And Aaron married Elishba, the daughter of Abinadab, the sister of Nashon, and bore him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. The sons of Korah, Asir and Elkanah and Abiasaph. These are the families of the Korahites. And Aaron's sons, Eleazar, married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers' households of the Levites according to their families. It was the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring out the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their hosts." They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing out the sons of Israel from Egypt. It was the same Moses and Aaron. Now it came about on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I speak to you." But Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me?" Amen. Okay. A couple of different things. Let's do the background quick. So remember last time they went to Pharaoh, everything was laid out there. They if you talk about a bad result, they got more than a bad result. It was a horrible result. Pharaoh basically says, "All right, you guys got all this free time. Okay, I'm going to go and make your labor worse. You still have to, create the same amount of bricks, but now you're not going to have any straws." And so he goes on. The people are just saying, "Moses, what's going on?" And then at the end of 5, Moses also goes before the Lord and says, "What did I get myself into," basically. And then the Lord comes to Moses, and this is his response. And in verse 1, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For under compulsion," the word there may be more properly translated, "by my strong right hand, he shall let them go. And by my strong hand, he shall drive them out of the land." And God spoke further to Moses. And what God does, and typically you'll notice kind of a pattern. We saw it a bit in Genesis. We're going to see it in Exodus again and again. That when things are not going well, when the road is getting really rocky, God, first of all, will say, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I did. And so you'll see these bookends very commonly in God's dealing with Israel. This is what I'm about to do. I'm about to drive move Pharaoh's hand by my hand, and he's going to release people. So he tells them, this is what I'm going to do. Moses, look, this is what I'm about to do right now. And then he always goes back afterwards. And the idea is, well, you can trust what I'm about to do because this is what I did before. And this is very logical, isn't it? For many of us, in our walk with God, in our desire to be used by Him and to lean upon Him, this is what happens to us. We hear something from the Lord, or we get a sense of obedience. We step out into that obedience. It doesn't quite work out very well, and we go back and say, okay, God, did you really ask me to do this? Did you really bring me to this place? Is this really what you want us to do? Which actually is a fairly good road or path to take. Now, remember yesterday I said that it's a little different in the kingdom. Your decision is not marked by the success of your decision. In other words, what happens because you decided something and it's successful. The mark of God's approval is not that you became successful because you obeyed. The mark of God's approval is you obeyed. Do you understand that? That's a very, very important point. God is responsible for the success. God is responsible for the benefits, whatever happens. We are responsible to obey. And so these guys, the Israelites, are judging the obedience of Moses, and Moses himself is judging his obedience by the result. No, you judge the obedience by being obedient. You mark God's approval simply out of obedience, nothing else. All right, that's a whole other point. But that's what God does. And so we get to this place, and we're like, oh, I don't know. You know, is this what we're supposed to be doing and whatnot? And then what typically the Lord does by His Holy Spirit, He says, listen, I'm going to do this thing. All right, let's be honest, okay? A lot of single people in Hong Kong, at SP, churches everywhere, they're very discouraged about not getting married. You know, they're growing in age and whatnot, and very discouraged and all kinds of different things. You know, and then it's like, well, God, I'm supposed to be married. Isn't this going to work out or whatnot? And then God comes, listen, son, listen, daughter, you're going to be married. All right, it's a done deal. Kind of trust me, let's walk in this thing. And then typically what happens is that God will remind us of how He's been faithful in our lives. He's making a case for Himself. He's also actually going a whole nother step. And He goes out and He says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, yesterday I talked about this, the first time that God actually identifies Himself as the God of Israel. It's huge when this happens. And so remember, Pharaoh says, I've heard of this God, but this God of Israel, he's a God of these lowly people. He means nothing to me. Who is He to tell me what to do? And this is the whole interchange that's happening. And so He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He says, I established my covenant. Now He takes it a whole other level. But basically He's saying, but for you guys, to them, I was simply El Shaddai. In other words, God Almighty. It was basically a function, okay? It could be like, I am a businessman, or something to that regard. But He says, but to you, I reveal myself as the Lord. Whenever in the Old Testament, when you see the phrase the Lord, it actually means, will be the Greek translation, it was Jehovah, but the Hebrews would be Yahweh, coming from the root word Hayah, which just simply means to be. In other words, He is existence. He is, what it means to be, it's God, it's the Lord. And so He says, before they were just known as, they just knew me as God Almighty, El Shaddai. But now you know me as the Lord, as Yahweh. This is my name and who I am. And so it's a whole nother level. And he says, look, you know, I'm going to take care of this thing. I took care of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God, like God needs to build credibility, but God is building credibility. And we experience this in our own life, don't we? When we go through certain times, we always look back to what God did. I know every time, and I'm going through a little bit of it. I'm not as bad as previously. I remember when we had our first baby, you know, when Elise came. Yeah, we were scared to death, but we were scared to death because of different reasons. We were scared because we never had a baby before, and there was all kinds of questions and whatnot. When we were pregnant with the second baby, I started getting stressed with finance issues. Oh man, you know, one, two, how's this going to happen, whatnot. And in that part of that journey, I had the Lord just say, "Hey Sam, I took care of you when you were, you know, in university. I took care of you when your parents went through bankruptcy. I took care of you when you started working. I took care of you when you quit your job and started working at the church, and you know, I mean, literally getting paid peanuts." And it says, I took care of you the whole time, and I'm going to take care of you again." And he reminds us. The third one was when Hannah came. It wasn't really about finances, and now we knew how to, you know, have babies and raise kids and whatnot. It was more about time. Do we have enough time to devote to three kids, you know, to love them and care for them in a way? And so every kid has a different thing. The fourth kid is almost going back to the first one now. And we're just like, we don't know how it's going to be like. I mean, we see all the crazy boys at church, you know, and honestly, we're scared. you know, our girls are so calm. They're you know, give them a coloring book and some paper, and they amuse themselves for hours. And so, but each of these times where, you know, we freak out a little bit, what happens? The Lord reminds us. He says, "Hey, I'm going to be with you. Do you remember I was with you when you went through that journey? Remember when your first kid and you were scared? I was with you. Remember the second kid and you had, you know, these other fears? I was with you there." And it's this reminder of God that comes over and over and over again. I personally think in our discipleship, in our spiritual formation, it's not necessarily the essential problem is not that we don't love God. I don't think that's the case at all. I think we do love God and we want to be faithful. You know, we have a heart, we have desire. I think one of the main issues for Christians is we forget God. And not that we're not mindful of Him, but we forget what God has done in our lives. We forget. We take Him for granted. In my relationship, even with my wife, you know, and many people here that are married, and you can attest to this, sometimes you get so busy living life, and sometimes you get so busy at work that you very easily take your spouse for granted. I'm guilty of that so many times. And so now, my wife and I, we set a deliberate time every week to spend together. Because if we don't do that, then I'm going to forget how great I have it. You know what I mean? I'm going to forget I was such a loser before I got married. I'm not saying that everyone's a loser before they get married, okay? That's not my connotation. I know people online are going to get really mad at me. That's not what I'm saying. But I was, personally, not a single person, I was basically a butthead before I got married. And so my wife saved me from that. And in that regard, we forget a lot of times. I think a lot of times we forget who God is. We forget how powerful God is. We forget that He's God. We forget that God loves us and that He cares about us. And because we forget, we have to keep going back and remembering. And we kind of, isn't that what happens? God is always God. He never stops being God. We are who we are. We grow, you know, in ebbs and flows. And we go through a season, and then we start wigging out a little bit. And then God reminds us, "Hey, I'm God. I got this. I'm going to take care of this. Look, remember, this is what I did before in your life. And then we kind of get back on track as we remember. Right? We remember what the Lord has done. We remember who He is. We remember His power. We remember His majesty. And then it says, yeah. And we kind of are filled up, and then we continue on in that journey. And this is really continually a pattern by God, by how He ministers to people. Notice also here, just the unmitigated graciousness of God. I mean, at this stage, I'd be pretty ticked at Moses, you know, and the Israelites. But I mean, this is just the beginning of it all. I mean, it gets worse and worse and worse, and you know, and then you know, even that they leave, he ends up spending 40 years in the wilderness, basically hearing them complaining the whole time. And so he comes. He says, "Look, I'm gonna give this to you. Go to Pharaoh." And then Moses again, he goes back into this whole thing. But well, how is Pharaoh gonna listen to me when even the sons of Israel don't listen to me? And he says there, and he says, "For I am unskilled in speech." The word actually there is literally translated, "I am uncircumcised of lips." And the reason why that's mentioned, when they say uncircumcised of lips, it basically, they rendered circumcision as being perfected. And so when he says he's uncircumcised of lips, that means his speech is not perfect. It's not where it should be. And that was the Hebrew connotation of that, what that meant. And so, now, didn't he complain about this before? Wasn't this way back at the bush and this whole thing? Didn't he tell him that this is going to, like... And remember, God's anger burned at Moses. Moses didn't learn the lesson. That's why he gave him Aaron. And Aaron is going to be the mouthpiece. And here he is again, saying, "Well, they're not going to listen. How is Pharaoh going to listen to me? Your own people don't even listen to me. And I can't speak." And he does it again. It's amazing. And verse 13, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, to Aaron, and gave them a charge, the sons of Israel, and the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt." Isn't it very comforting for us to know that when we have complaints and when we have doubts and when we just outright challenge God in some ways, that God doesn't give up on us? Right? God didn't give up on Moses. I think this is a very sobering, you know, obviously we should just obey. It's the easiest way to go. But what a sobering path to understand that our God is so much bigger than our complaining. Our God is so much bigger than our lack of faith. And then Moses goes to the genealogy here. And the purpose of that really is to, it's kind of a credibility. This is our family line. You know, God has specifically chosen us for this task, the heritage, growing up in Egypt, you know, all these kind of things. And so he goes through that, and then when he finishes the whole thing, and notice this genealogy, there are some good parts to it, and there are some not so good parts to it. And so Moses is just actually very real. Remember, Moses is writing this account in Exodus. Actually, the first five books of the Bible are written by Moses. And so when we come to this place, he's just very real about this. Moses is not an ambitious man. Moses does not have an agenda. Moses is really a humble guy that just is purely writing out what the Lord is telling him to write out. And he's relaying the story, and then we'll get to chapter 7. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Are you going through something in your life right now where you need to be reminded of God's faithfulness over your life? Maybe there are things happening and you just simply need to be reminded by His goodness. If you're having some fear about something or having some doubts, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. there's some trouble on your journey, allow him to minister to your heart, knowing and understanding that he is faithful, he's always been faithful, he will continue to be faithful. And if you just open up your heart, God will reveal himself to you in that way. As Jackie leads in a song, you know, let's meditate on that.
God is able, he will never fail. He is Almighty God, greater than all we seek, greater than all we ask. He has done great things, lifted up, he defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able. In his name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able.
God is able.
God is able. He will never fail. He is Almighty God, greater than all we seek, greater than all we ask. He has done great things, lifted up, defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able. In his name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. God is with us. God is on our side. He will make a way. Far above all we know, far above all we hope, he has done great things. Lifted up, he defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able. In his name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. For the Lord our God is able. God is with us. He will go before. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. God is for us. He has open arms. He will never fail us. He will never fail us. God is with us. He will go before. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. God is for us. He has open arms. He will never fail us. Will never fail us. Lifted up, he defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able. In his name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. For the Lord our God is able. For the Lord our God is able.
Let's pray this morning. You know, the central storyline of the Jewish people is the Exodus story. Now you can see how difficult this was. And so it forever marked the Jewish people that God brought them out of captivity in the Exodus. God is faithful. It's like the song says, He'll never fail us. I pray for you this morning that God would give you the strength to overcome any anxiety, any doubt, any fears that you have about your path, about what God may be asking you to do, because you look to God and His faithfulness. Let's search our hearts and let's go before the Lord. Let's recognize and thank Him for His power and His love over us. And let's pray today. Let's go over our community prayer focus, and let's pray for our friends that are battling cancer. Again, I want to highlight David Sa from one of our house churches here in Hong Kong, who's got leukemia. Continue to pray for him and his family during this time, that God would heal him. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our family members and friends that are sick, but also that need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that God would reveal Himself to them in power over their illness, but also in their heart. Let's pray for them. Thank you. Let's pray for those that have non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word in their life. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision of employment, and this really would just really draw them to Him in their time that they have right now. Let's pray. Let's pray for our mission focus, and this morning let's pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for Febe, Pastor Salamat, and ministry here. Let's pray for the church in Kupang that will be going out this summer to minister at. Let's pray God would really move upon this country, the most populous Muslim country in the world. And let's ask for the Spirit of God to manifest Himself. Let's also pray for Singapore. Pray for our church there, SPSG. Pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide. A bunch of them will be making their way to the retreat this week, next week. Let's pray for safe travels and that they would be excited. And we would just see the whole SP family come together in such power. Let's pray for our two countries and people there. Let's pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for God's hand upon our leaders, our volunteers, the students, the kids, that they would just continue to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray for our activities this weekend. Pray for the EMP Bible study. Pray for Sunday services, the morning and afternoon service. Pray for Noah's Ark, the worship teams, hospitality. Pray for the youth group and the outreaches, discipleship classes going on today, all the different meetings happening, men's and women's prayer meetings this morning. Let's just ask the Lord to cover every time that the people of God would gather together. That truly we know that He is in the midst of us, but let's pray His power would also come during that time. Let's pray. Let's pray for a house church's meeting today, Bel Air, Robinson Family, and McDaddy. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide these meetings, and every person would come. People won't get lazy or anything. They would show up and really contribute to ministering to one another. Let's cover. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We come humbly before you, Lord, and forgive us, God, for our complaining and our doubting, God, and our lack of faith. But with that, God, we know that you still don't give up on us, Lord. Lord, please remind us. Lord, let us know what you're about to do, and remind us, God, of what you've already done. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.